In the Acts of the Apostles, we read where Paul instructs the leaders of the Ephesian church to carry out three imperatives in order to be healthy, in order to remain healthy, and to grow. I firmly believe that there is no park. There is no neutral gear for the church. We are either going forward in doing God's will, or we are rolling backwards caused by disobedience and sin. We are either growing or we are dying. Please follow with me in your Bible as we read our scripture passage for today in the book of Acts, chapter 20. And we'll begin at verse 17. Acts 20, 17 through 38. This is where Paul is speaking to the Ephesian leadership. And from Miletus, Paul sent a message to Ephesus and called him the elders. Now, in those days, the word elders included everyone, the pastors, the elders, the deacons. It was only later in the church history that it divided up in these different offices or roles. But he's talking to the church leaders. Verse 18, and when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you all the time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord." As a side note, this is much like a pastor's life. "Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which befell me from the plots of the Jews." This is an example of serving others. Verse 20, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house." This is an example of making disciples. "Teaching both to Greeks and to the Jews of repentance to God and of the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow, this is an example of proclaiming the gospel. Our mission statement here at First Baptist Church. "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, bound in the Spirit." In other words, being bound in the Spirit meant that he was drawn irresistibly by the Holy Spirit. Side note, Pastor Eugene Peterson, one of the authors of the translation, The Message, of the Scripture, wrote a book entitled A Burning in My Bones, wherein he states that Eugene had a hunger for something radical, something so true that it burned in his bones. His longing for God ignited a ferocity or a ferociousness in his soul. Here's a question for you and for me today. Do you have a burning in your bones for the work of the ministry at First Baptist Church? Are you so convicted, deeply connected, and bound by the Spirit that you are compelled to maintain unity among our members and contribute your spiritual gift to fulfill our God-given mission here in this community? Verse 22. "And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. If only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul was a single-minded believer. The world wants to be complicated. The world wants to be conflicting. The world wants us to be confused. I am here to tell you no. I am here to denounce that and tell you that First Baptist Church members united as oneness with a single-mindedness. Don't let the influences of this world make you double-minded, tossed to and fro. We must be single-minded as Paul. Verse 25, and now, behold, I know that all you among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom with will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. What does that mean? That means here at First Baptist Church, our deacons, our officers, our directors, you have been appointed by God in those positions to care for the church of God, which He obtained with the blood of His Son. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Watch out. Keep awake, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by so toiling, one must help the weak. You see, these are mandates include for us as a church body to care for those among us who, quite frankly, we may not particularly care for or like or get along with or can't stand. If that's the case, you need to check yourself to see if you are carnal and in a spiritual state. We are to keep watch. We are to shepherd. We are to remain vigilantly on guard for their well-being as well. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, which Paul took from Jesus' speech in Luke chapter 6. Verse 36, and when He had spoken these, He knelt down. I love that. We need to kneel down before the Lord and one another more often, because it's an act of submission. And prayed with them all, and they all wept, and they all embraced Paul, and they kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word He had spoken, that they would see His face no more. And they brought Him to the ship. You see, this is an example of what sweet Christian fellowship looks like. Caring and loving for one another. I know as a pastor that I'm doing well when I see us kneeling and praying and weeping and embracing and kissing and sorrowing with one another out of Christ-like love and caring for one another. Let me ask you another thought for today. Are you willing to humble yourself and submit to caring and loving one another? Not just your verbal, but in your actions, in your behavior, in your words as well. Are you willing to physically walk alongside those who are suffering and hurting in our church even if it's just for a season of time. May the Lord bless each and every one of you in the reading of His Word. From our scripture reading for today, Paul again, as I said, identified three imperatives for a healthy and thriving and growing church. Basically, what I call three essential takes, T-A-K-E-S, takes for our church today. We need to take heed, we need to take care, and we need to take guard. If you look at verse 28, the first part of verse 28a, we are to keep watch. That's my first point. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. You see, Paul tells us, these brothers and sisters in Christ, to keep watch in order to be sure that there is unity in the body of Christ. In what ways does Paul propose for them to achieve this oneness? How can they do this unity that needs heeding or paying attention to? Well, in doing a little bit of deductive reasoning, which at times I like to do, if we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, which we normally, and you can look at that because that's actually my ordination verses, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3, I would like to read those three verses in reverse. Verse 3 says, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How are we to care for the church? By making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How are we to care for each other as members of the flock? Verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love. And then verse 1. How are we to care for ourselves? I, therefore, Paul says, the prisoner in the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. You have already been called. How are we to care for the church? Well, we must care for each member of the flock. How are we to care for each member of the flock? We need to make sure that we are caring for ourselves. Now, viewing these verses from a new vantage point, there is a strong argument to suggest and support the fact that caring for the church of God begins with paying attention to your own individual walk with the Lord. Our church leaders must conduct a self-assessment, a self-evaluation of whether they are leading the life worthy of their calling as church leaders. As our leaders go before the throne of grace each day in self-reflection, our church leaders at First Baptist Church, they cannot do without every member of our church and your prayerful intervention on their behalf. You see, only as our church leaders are spiritually maturing and demonstrating humility and gentleness and patience and the ability to bear with one another in a 1 Corinthians 13 type love, as we saw demonstrated in our scripture reading today, will our church leaders be strong and equipped and able to heed and pay close attention to the spiritual needs and growth of all the flock. You see, before the flock can be protected, the shepherds must protect themselves. Which leads to the second half of verse 28. Be shepherds, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Never forget, never ever forget, never forget that we prayed and asked the Lord to lead us in the selection of our church leaders, our deacons, our directors, our committee chairs, those holding in positions as leadership in our church. These are appointed and accountable to God. We are to take care of the church of God, which He obtained with the blood of His own Son. Shepherding is not just the responsibility of the pastor. It is the calling by which our church leaders have already been called to sustain, maintain, and properly care for the church of God. All of our church leadership must maintain the discipline of shepherding all of the church members, all of the flock. They cannot carry out this God-appointed duty and task without the active cooperation and support of each member of the flock. Our duty as church leaders is to guide, direct, protect, feed, and help the flock to grow to its fullest potential. We are to instruct, we are to correct, and we are to protect. Which leads to my third point, verses 29 to 31. Be on your guard. You see, Paul warned, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, take guard, like a sentry on patrol. Be alert. During my 13 months in Iraq, one of my duties was to conduct over 400 interrogations and preside over Article 5 military tribunals at a place called Camp Buka, located in Ur of the Chaldeans. Many of you would probably remember from your scriptures that that was the birthplace of Abraham. It's about 200 miles southeast of Baghdad, in lower Mesopotamia. During my extensive 39 days straight of interrogations and trials in over 130 to 140 degree weather out in tents, out in the middle of the desert, one of our sentry patrols arrested a local just outside the perimeter of our fence line. Our camp was very rustic. Basically, the perimeter had concertina wires and connexes. That was our barriers all around our camp. After some interrogations with this detainee and his local religious leader, tribal leaders, inside of our camp, this detainee confessed to have planted over 1,000 IEDs, or improvised explosive devices, all around the curtilage, the barbed wire fencing just outside our camp's footprint. By the grace of God, he agreed to show us where they were all placed, and none of our troops were harmed, primarily due to our patrols remaining alert and staying vigilant. They were on guard. There are predatory wolves all around us and our families. We can blatantly see them. They're right out there. A lot of times in these days, they're not even hiding. We can see them on every street corner in our society, and hopefully we can avoid their evil influences. But we must not be naive, for Paul also warns about fierce wolves that roam within the church, who act with impure motives and intent, who distort the truth and speak perverse things in order to draw disciples of Christ away from the unified church body, in order to follow them and to practice their evil ways. We see that by their fruits: self-acknowledgement, self-centeredness, pride, gossip, intolerance, lack of patience and understanding, promoting controversies instead of helping people come to know Jesus. And that's just to name a few. In Rainer's book, he talks about praying for your pastor and his family. Yes, Jesus, like Paul, needed prayer. I ask for your ongoing prayers. But in addition to intercessory prayers on his behalf, Paul asked for prayers on behalf of his companions. Pray for us. We see that in Colossians, in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, in Hebrews, as well as in Ephesians. In other words, we all need to be praying for all of our church leaders. Your church staff, Lori, Anne, Francis, Judy. We need to be praying for our deacons, our church officers, our directors, our committee members, our outreach leaders. In addition, may I suggest that you might consider, please consider, sending an encouraging card or a letter. And if any of them are married, how about sending an appreciation card to their spouse? Because they too make many sacrifices in serving the church. Each of you have access to a weekly church bulletin. When you came into the worship service this morning, or you're viewing one online at the church website, printed out on that bulletin are the names of most of our church leaders who need your intercessory prayers. You see, the devil has intentionally set traps, snares, to take each one of our leaders down and out, to harm their reputation among believers as well as unbelievers who are not a part of this church. Why? Why would the devil do that? Because our church leaders are a threat. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19, we read about the time when James, the brother of John, was killed by Herod the king, and Peter was imprisoned. If you read verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayers for him was made to God by the church. Peter was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. As a direct result of the prayers of these church members, Peter was delivered from prison. He went to the house of Mary, which was John Mark's mother, where in verse 12, he found many were gathered together and were praying. You see, God has chosen his to do his work through the prayers of each of you. The prayers of each of you to keep me, to keep your staff, to keep our deacons, to keep all of our church leaders out of the devil's traps. Without your ongoing intercessory prayers and words of encouragement for the leaders of our church will not be healthy. Our church will not fulfill its mission, and it won't be able to move forward and thrive. Our church, the body of Christ, will not grow. Pray for our church leaders, for them and their families. Pray for their protection. Pray for their physical and mental health. As we pursue spiritual maturity and a life of holiness, may each and every single one of us, may all of us, be of the same single-mindedness as Jesus was in going to the cross in order to save us from eternal punishment for our sins, for redeeming us and making us heirs of the kingdom of God. May we have the same single-mindedness as Paul did in going to the eventual prison and certain death in order to do the work of the ministry of proclaiming the gospel of grace of God. James chapter 5, verse 16 talks about the prayers of the righteous availeth much. You see, prayer is the church's greatest protection. If you need prayer and support today, or the Lord is calling you to become a member of First Baptist Church, please feel free to come forward and let us pray with you right now. The Lord is waiting for you to step out in faith and be obedient to follow Him and His will in your life today. You come.